You're listening to the Wingman Men's Moment Podcast. From building stronger marriages to raising godly children, our mission is to empower you to lead with purpose and honor. Together, we can take a journey towards becoming better husbands, fathers, and more godly men. In each episode of this podcast, Wingman Nation co-founders Pastor Jay Dennis and Randy Ferreira tackle real-life challenges and offer guidance on how to navigate them with courage and integrity. Welcome to the Wingman Men's Movement Podcast, brought to you by Wingman Nation Men's Ministry. Hey, it's my privilege to introduce your host for today, Wingman Nation co-founders Pastor Jay Dennis and Randy Ferreira. The Wingman Men's Moment starts now.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Pastor Jay. How are you?
Good morning, Papa Rock. I'm doing well. Thank you. How about you?
Doing all right. So today we're talking about an interesting topic, and it is what Jesus says about divorce. And we're going to look at Matthew 19, 1 through 9, and 13 and 14. So let's... Are we ready to rock and roll?
We are ready to rock and roll.
Okay, so I will read first. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you heard," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So there are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them, but the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Little story, the woman applying for a job in Florida, Lemon Grove, seemed too qualified for the job. "Look, miss," said the foreman, "have you actually experienced any experience in picking lemons?" "Well, as a matter of fact, yes," she replied. "I've been divorced 3 times.
There you go.
You know, most listening to this podcast have been touched in some way by divorce, either you personally or someone you are close to. And I'm sure Jay and I have the same thing. And the Pharisees,
yes,
at that point tried to, you know, they were trying to trip Jesus up on the issue of divorce. So what did Jesus do? He went back to the beginning of marriage. And this is God's original design, God's blueprint. He has not altered it at all.
I think it's interesting, guys, that in the same passage Jesus talks about divorce, he talks about children. And as we're going to see in these two studies, part one and two, is that divorce affects children in a very negative way. And so it's no coincidence that in the same context, he's talking about divorce and the children.
That's very interesting. Yes. So we're going to give you a few most likely reasons why marriages have come to an end, and a few statistics. So a total of 689,308 divorces occurred in 2021. That's about half the number of couples who reported getting married, with subsequent marriages failing at even higher rates. Understanding why marriages fail can help you to make your own union stronger if you're married. It can also guide you in making choices about entering into a marriage, and it can help you support the married couples in your life as well. So Forbes Advisor Commission did a survey of 1,000 Americans who are divorced or in the process of divorcing to discover why marriages fail. Based on this data, here are some of the most likely reasons marriages came to an end. So 43% was lack of family support. 34% was infidelity. 31% was lack of intimacy. And another 31% was too much conflict or arguing in their marriage. 24% was financial stress. 20% parenting differences. I would have thought that would have been higher.
Yeah, 10%
marrying too young. So key facts about divorce. The majority of the divorces are initiated by only one party, with only 27% of the respondents indicating the decision to end the marriage was mutual. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Just 4% of the couples divorce after 10 years of marriage. And 63% of divorcees believe a better understanding of the commitments of marriage could have helped them to avoid the divorce. And only 5% of divorcees say that there was no way their marriage could have been saved. The survey says you can assess all the results of this survey if you want. It's possible preaching angle, and we can give you that after the fact if you want. But, and it's important to keep in mind, this survey was taken of society as a whole, with proper guidance and premarital counseling and personal growth towards spiritual maturity. A believing couple would be much more likely, I think, to establish a solid marriage for life. And remember, 63% of them said a better understanding of commitment prior to marrying could have stopped their union from collapsing.
So that tells us a lot right there, that if there is premarital counseling, and if you understand the commitment of marriage prior to getting married, chances are you're going to stay together. So it's vitally important that we have premarital counseling before marriage takes place, before they say, I do. So we want to look today at several issues regarding divorce. Number one is, divorce desecrates God's design for marriage. First of all, it's the definition of marriage. Marriage is not a human invention. It is the creation of God. It did not originate in the mind of man, but in the mind of God. This being the case, man cannot change the definition or purpose of marriage to suit himself. The redefinition of marriage is the negation of marriage itself. Listen to Matthew 19:4. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female? So God clearly defined marriage as between a man and a woman, a male and female. And he designed a particular man for a woman and a woman for a man, physically, emotionally, mentally, and relationally. I need to say at this point, you should only date and marry committed, godly Christians, and not just those who claim to be Christians or claim to be religious. There are a lot of guys, and I'm going to pick on this guys for a minute, who will say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, but yet they don't read the Word. They're not living and striving to be godly and Christ-like. So it's very, very important that we look at the definition of marriage and that you marry someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's a very good point, too, Jay. And most people, you know, they don't even think about that, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, even if you're a Christian, you know, you meet somebody and you get enamored and, you know, the whole religious thing might come up, but if they don't put enough
right.
emphasis on it. And we've seen, all of us, I'm sure, so many couples who have different spiritual or completely different
right.
In their faith, some without any faith. And you can just see it's a disaster waiting to happen.
It really is.
Especially when kids come into the picture as well. So
that changes everything.
Yeah. That's a song, isn't it? Children change.
Yes.
Yeah. So the second thing, the duration of marriage. So let's look at Matthew 19:5. It said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. United or cleave kind of means to be glued to, super glue. It's like the commitment that says, no matter what, we're in this together. It's the idea of permanency in a marriage, more than a feeling, guys, more than just romance, you know, more than compatibility. You enter into a marriage without the D word in your vocabulary or thinking. Just don't even ever bring that up.
That's right.
Helen Rowland said, in olden times, sacrifices were made at the altar, a custom which is still continued.
That's exactly right.
And this is not really until someone else comes along, unfortunately. But
that's right. Well, look at number three, is the delight of marriage. God has given a great gift in marriage, the gift of physical intimacy or sex. It is God's wedding gift. It is so special, he reserves it only for married people. Outside of marriage, it easily destroys and burns and leaves permanent scars like no other. You know, sex is like a fire. A fire in boundaries is a good thing. It warms you. It comforts you. But when it gets outside the boundaries, it destroys everything that it touches. Matthew 19:6 says, consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. As God by creation made two of one, so again by marriage, he made one of two. One man, before going to bed, brought his wife two aspirin. Here, this will help your headache. Well, I don't have a headache, she said. And then he responded with, gotcha.
Gotcha. Some people don't get that. I can see on Nash's face.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay, well, we'll explain later on that after we get up. Number four, the defense of marriage. In Matthew 19:6, it says, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Bam. God is saying, yes, don't mess with marriage. Separate means to divide, to come between. But don't let anything come between you and your spouse. Defend your marriage at all costs. Defend your marriage against anyone or anything that would pull you away emotionally or physically from your spouse, period. When watch out for Satan's subtle traps. Guys, he especially moral and emotional ones. Divorce yes. is a refusal to remarry the new person your mate has become. Long-range marriage is a commitment to keep on marrying the mate you have no matter how often they change.
Yes, it is till death do us part. But there's a second thing we want to point out, and that is divorce is sin, but it's not the unpardonable sin. Make no mistake, divorce is sin. It's a sin that has many consequences. And sin is sin, but some sin hurts more people and causes greater damage, but it can be forgiven. It is not the unpardonable sin. Call it no-fault divorce or uncontested divorce, but God still calls it sin. Call it irreconcilable differences. God calls it sin. Call it, I'm just not in love with him or her anymore, but God calls it sin. Matthew 19:8, he said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it has not been this way. Hardness here means stubbornness. It means sin. I want it my own way, regardless of what God says. So show me a person who is divorced, and I will show you where one or both parties experienced a hardening in their hearts. Mm-hmm. Now notice, when someone gets a divorce, that it is not because of sexual sin and remarriage takes place. This is what Jesus said about it in verse 9 of Matthew 19. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Now, before you come down with a crashing criticism of someone, listen to what the same Jesus said in Matthew 5:28. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:28 again. But I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
That's a big
just
one.
It is a big one. Just in the heart doesn't have the same consequences, but it is sin and will lead to sexual sin unless that is addressed. So Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. He said, it's not just a physical committing of adultery. You can commit adultery in your mind and in your heart, and that is sin as well.
That is sin, and that brings up the whole issue of pornography. That's just... committing adultery. So right. Guys, it's very important. And I know a lot of men struggle with that. The third thing is divorce is hated by God. Does God hate? Yes. Notice what is on God's hate list and listen to how God feels about divorce.
That's right.
Malachi 2:16 says, "For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." Now notice, it doesn't say that God hates divorced people.
No.
It says he hates divorce. He hates what it does to his plan for marriage. He hates what it does to the children, if there's children involved. He hates what it does to the people. He hates what it does to his reputation when Christians get divorced. It makes the world wonder if being a Christian really matters.
Yes, it does.
So no one hates divorce any more than the one who has gone through a divorce. We get that. It's yeah. Hell on earth in most cases. But
it is.
Even though all divorces are the result of sin, not all divorces are sinful. I think you said that earlier, Jay.
Right.
It reference Matthew 19:9. "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another commits adultery." So zero on the word of immorality. It speaks of any kind of sexual sin, as you were saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It includes adultery, homosexuality, incest. It's having a physical relationship with anyone who's not your spouse. And I believe that includes pornography, as we said earlier, or even an emotional affair and texting.
That's right.
There's emotional affair possibilities there as well. So, and notice carefully what Jesus is saying. He's not saying you must divorce the person if immorality does occur, because marriages can be healed. And there can be a marriage after the sexual sin as well. Listen, it's not easy. Yeah, but it is possible, you know, with the God of the impossible. So we have to trust. The trust must be rebuilt, and real repentance must take place, or nothing, absolutely nothing, will change.
Right.
However, if there is sexual sin, like adultery, divorce, and the remarriages after that are permitted, according to God's word.
It is. Listen to 1 Corinthians 7, verses 11 and 15. "But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and a husband must not divorce his wife." 1 Corinthians 7:15. "But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or the sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace." Now, we believe the Bible gives permission for divorce for three specific reasons. Number one, as we've mentioned, is adultery, Matthew 19:1-9. But number two is abandonment, and that's covered in 1 Corinthians 7:15 that we read a moment ago. But there is a third one, and Malachi speaks to this issue as well, the book of Malachi, and that is abuse. 1 Corinthians 7:15, "The husband has abandoned his love, his protection, and marriage covenant with his wife." I want to quote Gary Richman in an article that he had, and it's called "When Families Break Up, the Human Toll." He says, "Focus on the family. You may ask, is there a scripture substantiating your position that physical abuse is a legitimate reason to divorce your mate? No direct scripture exists, but," he says, "consider Ephesians 5:25-33. Listen to this. "For husbands, this means you love your wives just as Christ loved the church and he gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body." Verse 31, "As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." He says, Gary Richman, "This passage allows no room for physical abuse." He said, "I believe Lewis Smedes, the late professor at Fuller Seminary, spoke rightly when he said, this is not to say that God approves of divorce. It is only to say that he sometimes disapproves of its alternatives more than he disapproves of divorce. So you have adultery, you have abandonment, and you have abuse. That I believe it's backed up by scripture that you are free to get a divorce if those one or three or more takes place.
Yes. Very good stuff. Number four, is that five? Four.
Number four.
Divorce has never-ending consequences. And that's why some people feel that death is easier than divorce. Death has some closure, at least, but divorce seems to never go away. It's baggage that follows you. It has financial consequences, especially for the ladies, usually. And research has found that a woman's disposable income drops, listen to this, about 30% after a divorce versus a man's of only 10% drop. So men who divorce suffer greater health problems, believe it or not. 70% of problem drinkers were divorced, but the greatest victims involve the children.
Yes.
And I can understand this. I'm sure you guys can.
Yes,
60% of all divorces involve children. They become the broken pieces, and often they're the pawns in the marriage.
Yeah.
In the same context that Jesus deals with divorce, he deals with children. And Jay, I think you said that earlier.
Yeah.
In Matthew 19, 13 and 14 and Mark 10 through 13, it says children grow up and become adults. And it states that in the scripture. But we now have a generation of adults who are still suffering because of their mom and dad's divorce.
Right. That's exactly right. There are adult children of divorce who maybe that divorce happened when they were a child, and now you have a family of your own, but that hurt, that wound is still there. And it's hard to ever get beyond that wound. But with Jesus Christ, he can heal you. He can touch you, and he can allow you to experience healing from divorce. So many of you have been through it personally. Many of us have had family members who have gone through this. But you need to know that there is cleansing, there is forgiveness, there is grace, and there is a new beginning in Christ Jesus. So if you're going through a divorce or you've been through a divorce, just understand that there is healing in Jesus' name, and we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, we're going to pick up on part two in our next podcast, but it's so important that we lay the foundation here on what Jesus Christ said about the issue of divorce. Now, that sounds like a country song to me. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We hope you'll continue to listen and invite other people to listen as well. And it's important, I believe, and Randy believes, that your children hear these truths as well. But until next time,
Wingman out.
The Wingman Men's Moment podcast is brought to you courtesy of the Wingman Nation Men's Ministry. Visit us at wingmannation.com.